The following is a production of the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.
Next on Maine Watch, is the recession over? If so, when will it feel like it's over? We look towards the horizon and speak with economist Charlie Colgan about Maine's economic forecast. Plus, the chancellor of the UMaine system, Rich Patenaud, discusses his plan to cut nearly $43 million out of UMaine's budget without harming the university system. We hope you'll stay with us. Hello, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Watch. Twice a year, a group of top economists in the region gather to present their economic forecast for New England. The New England Economic Partnership, known as NEEP, met last week in Boston and presented a sober assessment of New England's economy, albeit with a glimmer of hope. Among the speakers, Gus Fauché with Moody'sEconomy.com, who provided his forecast for the U.S. economy as a whole.
I have some good news and some bad news. First of all, the good news is that the recession is over. It likely ended in August, but it's going to be the bad news is that it's going to be a weak recovery, at least for the next year and a half or so. It's going to be a long slog. But we should see a self-sustaining economic expansion by 2012.
And Ross Gattell, who is a professor at the University of New Hampshire, provided the outlook for New England as a region.
The fact that our outlook has changed relatively little over the past 6 months is probably good news, because we were searching over the past year, 15 months, for some stability in the economy. And I think we've seen some stability, but I think we have to be cautious, because that stability in the region doesn't mean it's all positive news, because we're stable, but we're stable at a very weak economy.
Maine's representative at NEEP is Charlie Colgan, who is also the chair of the state's Economic Forecasting Commission and a professor at the Muskie School at USM, among some of the many hats you wear. Charlie, thanks for returning to Maine Watch. Let's start with Gus Fauché's statement that the recession is over. Do you agree?
The recession is possibly over by one sort of definition of it. Often we talk about recessions as two consecutive declines in the gross domestic product, and we've actually had four quarters of decline in the GDP, and four out of the last five were declining at the U.S. level. So in the third quarter of this year, the GDP turned positive by 3.5%, and some economists say that's enough to declare the recession over. Recessions are more complicated than that. Recessions are not just a matter of output, they're also a matter of the job market, and the job market is clearly lagging way behind the output. Most of the forecasts, including my own, are that the outlook for jobs are such that while output will grow beginning in the third quarter of this year, it won't be until the third quarter of the summer next year that we see job growth in Maine or the U.S.
So really not until probably almost a year from now that we'll actually feel like we're coming out of the recession.
It'll be sometime in the summer next 2010 that will get positive job growth. Now, there will be jobs being added to the economy for the next 6 months or so, and the job market picture will improve a little bit, but it won't be, the gainers won't outpace the losers in the job market until sometime in the summer next year.
What are the biggest factors impeding job growth in Maine?
Well, the same factors that are impeding it nationally. The problem in this recession is that as Gus said, he has good news and bad news. The good news is that the worst is over. The bad news is the worst was really, really bad. This has been an extraordinarily deep recession and prolonged. It's probably the longest recession in the post-war period. It's probably going to be the deepest recession at the national level. And we dug a hole for ourselves that was so large last year with the collapse in the financial markets that it's just going to take a long time to come out. Consumers, who normally lead the recovery after businesses begin to make some investments, are overstressed. There's still a huge amount of debt overhang, and the foreclosure crisis is not abating anytime soon. Bankruptcies will continue to climb through 2011. The banks are, while lending, they've tightened their standards considerably. savings rates have gone from 0 to 7 or 8%. So there's just not a lot of oomph in the economy to pull it out.
When you talk about foreclosures and bankruptcies and unemployment, how does Maine rank, sort of? How do we fit into the New England economy and the nation as a whole? How are we doing?
This is one of the first recessions where Maine has been pretty close to the U.S. in job losses. We've tracked very close to the U.S. since last summer. Normally, we're a little worse than the U.S. That's been the pattern in every recession up to 2001. 2001 was the first recession. We weren't quite as bad as the U.S. This time, we are right on track with the U.S. Because we're a smaller and weaker economy in a poorer state, some things like bankruptcies in Maine will be higher, but we didn't have nearly the housing boom, so our subprime and foreclosure crisis is not quite as great as the U.S. But nothing you see in the U.S. is everything you see in the U.S. is present in Maine to one extent or another.
You know, we hear a whole lot about the emerging green economy, especially in Maine. It's sort of been put up as this is our future, whether it's composite wind turbines or the wood pellet industry. Do you believe that this sector really has the potential of turning around Maine's economy, or are we putting all our eggs in one pretty fragile basket here?
Well, I think this was actually a theme for our conference last week in Boston on the green economy, and there was a strong sense that the green economy does have a role to play in Maine and New England. We looked at a study from the Pew Charitable Foundation that found that Maine was the second highest state in the country in their definition of green jobs, just behind Oregon and ahead of every other New England state. So it is an important part of our economy. Will it be the thing that leads us out of the economy? I think the consensus among my colleagues is that the green economy will be a contributor to the turnaround, but it will not lead us out. The green economy's real potential lies in the expansion once we get past the recovery, we get back to where we were in 2008. The green economy is going to be a very important part of who we are in the next decade, but it's not going to be the thing that gets us out of the recession. There are just too many other things going on. And the green economy, even though we're putting up a lot of wind power on land, and we're doing a lot of weatherization, it's just not enough to get us out.
Where do you see sustainable growth in Maine in the next few years?
If we look at the forecast for the job sectors, the big job losers have been construction, retail, manufacturing, government. The only sector that has shown any gains during the last year and a half has been health services. That's been the big job gainer throughout this decade. Looking at past the recovery from the low point next year to the point where we get back to 2008 levels, the leading sectors will still be healthcare. Professional and technical services, business services, lawyers, accountants, and all of those kinds of things. That's where the real job growth is going to be. They're going to have to do that professional and technical services sector is going to have to do the heavy lifting to get us out, in addition to healthcare, because while retail will come back, construction will come back, manufacturing will come back, leisure and hospitality will come back, none will come back to their 2008 levels by the end of 2013. Not even in the next 4 years. So professional and technical services, leisure and hospitality, and health services will have to do the heavy lifting.
Let me ask you, we hear a lot about the growth in the health sector, and I know that some of Maine's largest employees are its hospitals. On a sort of macro level, is that really good for an economy to have its largest employers be its hospitals?
The past decade has really been transformational in the role of healthcare in the economy in many different ways. We've seen a lot of things that are currently debated with respect to healthcare reform, but part of the reason that health costs have gone up and healthcare has gone from 14% of the U.S. economy to 16% is that healthcare has become a much bigger part of many economies. Maine is not the only place where this has happened, and it does raise some issues about the long-term diversity of the economy. We can't have healthcare continue to be the biggest job producer. We need diversity. We've got to move to other service jobs, and we've got to get the technological innovation embodied in the green economy and in other sectors to be part of the story of how Maine grows in the future.
Healthcare needs to be serving the people who work in other professions. other than serving itself.
Yeah. In Maine, one of the remarkable things in Maine over the last decade, maybe a little longer, is that the healthcare sector has really become the biomedical sector.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare sector, in terms of the large hospitals, Maine Med is now not only the largest hospital, it also owns one of the largest, operates one of the largest outpatient clinic systems. It is about to start a medical school. It has a very large and significant medical research facility in Scarborough. We are becoming more and more connected to the New England biomedical field. It's not just a question of delivering healthcare services to our own population.
Okay, because of decreasing tax revenues, as you very well know, the state has dramatically cut its budget. We'll have to do it again this year. Can you talk a little bit about the snowball effect? You know, when the people who work in state government are losing their jobs, the people who are served by state government are no longer receiving those services. Does that lengthen our recovery time or our potential recovery time?
Exact effect on the state government on sort of the level of economic activity in the short run is a complex problem. Yes, state government has cut incomes in the form of furlough days. They've laid off people. The fourth largest sector in job losses is state and local government, most of which is in local government.
Hmm.
3,000 jobs lost in local government, only 1,000 jobs in state government.
What kinds of jobs are those? Are those police officers or municipal clerks?
Virtually, we don't have the detailed occupational listing, but it's pretty much across the board.
Okay.
A lot of those will be, some of those will be positions, short-term positions that aren't refilled and things like that. State government has the biggest effect on the economy over the long term and what investments it makes. And clearly, the public sector is going to be really challenged to put in place the educational and other services needed to sustain the economy in the recession if we're operating at substantially reduced revenue levels. One of the big problems here is that a lot of the things that state and local government provides are not provided by anybody else. So when they don't provide them, they're gone. And that's going to be a real challenge in this gubernatorial election year, how the public sector in Maine is going to be shaped by this recession, how we're going to deal with the problems of the stimulus package as it fades away, either very quickly or very slowly. Those are going to be central issues in this political season this year.
You brought up the stimulus package, the federal stimulus money. What kind of effect do you believe it's had on Maine's economy?
In general, the stimulus was designed to primarily replace about $1 in three or about one job in three. Stimulus has been very important. Stimulus was a critical reason why the economy turned positive in the third quarter, why retail sales have stabilized. The fourth largest payroll in Maine today is unemployment insurance. Which was enormously boosted by portions of the stimulus. We think of the stimulus primarily in terms of the road projects, and Maine was the first state to fully commit its road funding. It has had a very positive effect, but it has not been enough and was never going to be enough to replace the dollars that were lost and the jobs that were lost in this massive recession.
Where do you think we would be today if it were not for the stimulus package?
Well, we've lost about 27,000 jobs in Maine, peaked from the peak to the current to the end of September. You could easily be looking at 35,000, 40,000, probably looking at about a 45,000 peak to trough job loss without the stimulus, maybe about 30,000 with it.
Mm. Do you, as the state looks to the future and looks at trimming even more services and possibly entire programs, I know you're not going to tell them what to cut, but do you have any sort of philosophical thoughts about how to approach going at that closing of the budget gap?
I don't think there's any good answer to it. I don't envy at all the people who have to make those decisions, and I think we should all give them a certain amount of respect for the real problems that they face. I don't think anybody looks upon the situation with any happiness. I think the one thing that I've said is that we will get out of this. It will turn around. We're at the at or near the bottom here. And from the bottom, just like from the top, it never looks like you're going to fall. From the bottom, it never looks like you're going to get back. So it's important to realize that the cycle will turn, we will get back to it. And the one thing we got to make sure we don't do is cut out the capacity to recover and expand and take advantage of the expansion when it begins. That's the one big problem, is that you could easily cut enough of public services that you're not in a position to take advantage of the business cycle when it turns into an expansion.
Charlie, I know you do a lot of public speaking and know a lot of people, so I want to ask you, what's the biggest question you're getting these days, and what's your answer?
The biggest question these days is probably not surprisingly, so how good is your forecast? It's a question that troubles me greatly on a daily basis. So far, looking back from the perspective of today, looking back to where we were at the beginning of this year and the midterm forecast that I did, so far we've been tracking pretty closely to what I expect, which means that I'm getting reasonably confident that the turnaround in jobs is on the horizon, still somewhat distant. I am reasonably confident, however, also that the turnaround will be slow, and it will take us some time to get back to where we were in 2008 in the job market and in the economy as a whole. In other areas, for example, state revenues, it's unlikely we'll get back to where fiscal year 08 revenues were by 2014 under current expectations.
Well, Charlie Colgan, as usual, thank you so much for joining us on Main Watch.
Thank you.
The University of Maine system is facing a projected budget gap of nearly $43 million over the next 4 years. This week, the UMaine Board of Trustees approved a plan to bridge that gap. Here to discuss that plan, Rich Patnod, the chancellor of the UMaine system. And as a matter of full disclosure, we should note that Rich Patnod sits on MPBN's Board of Trustees. Rich, thank you for joining us on Maine Watch.
Thank you for asking.
Rich, although $43 million is a lot of money, this plan does not call for the closure of any of the campuses of the UMaine system. Is that idea off the table completely this time around?
This time and at this point, it's off the table. You know, you visit those communities, and you realize how important those campuses are to the fabric of the community, to being a place of opportunity. This is a large state. We're significantly reducing the cost of operating them, and we are being as efficient as possible in sharing resources. But for now, the needs of the people there are very real and very compelling.
One of the more creative proposals in this plan is to create some baccalaureate degree programs that are 3 years instead of four, 3 years to complete instead of four. What kind of majors are we talking about?
Well, we don't know yet. University of Maine Fort Kent has a general studies program that they've brought forward. We're asking each campus to look at which programs have the capacity to do it, are flexible enough, can offer a strong summer program, can blend in online programs, and we'll look forward to bringing those forward in the next few months and begin next fall. The idea is that for a motivated student, for a student who is truly interested in working year-round and working in a very organized manner, this gives them the opportunity to enter the job market a year early and to save all of the accompanying costs.
How does that save the UMaine system money to offer a three-year program instead of a four-year program?
Well, that's a good opportunity to note that this plan has three goals. One is we have a physical challenge that we really have to deal with, and we are in a very serious manner. Second is to maintain affordability and ways for affordability for our students, such as a three-year degree. And third, to lift up our capacity to serve the Maine people as we do, reallocate, focus. We're asking the University of Maine and the University of Southern Maine to meet together and say, how do we use our shared or combined graduate programs to reach the whole state without adding new programs? We're talking about doubling the number of enrollments in online degree programs, not just courses. So this is a blend of really tightening down on budgets, looking at how we use those dollars, serving people and trying to find affordability in the process.
I want to ask you about those online programs. You talk to students, and they say the experience of an online class is not nearly the same as an experience of a seminar or a lecture class or a lab for a science class. How does increasing online classes and even offering online degrees actually improve the quality of experience and the quality of education for students?
Well, I had a discussion about that in my class the other night. And students said, yes, if given the choice, they prefer to have an interaction with a professor and have that wonderful dialogue. But when their life and their calendar and their schedule says, I need the course, I need to keep making progress, or I'm in some part of the state where I can't go to a campus, we should offer that as an option. All the research across the country says that learning in online courses is about par with face-to-face courses. I think the quality of the experience is not as high, and I think everybody knows that. But again, we're trying to provide options that make sense for parts of our population. If you go across the country, online degrees are absolutely the fastest growing part of higher education because it meets a certain group of students' needs. So this is not to replace, but rather to find ways to expand our value to the people of Maine.
Part of the plan includes increasing tuition to UMaine, even though the increases would be modest. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that still further limit access for Maine students to their state university, even if the increase is 4 or 5%? People's incomes are not going up 4 or 5% a year.
Right, and we use those as planning targets. We'd like to be lower. Our costs for health care, for books, for technology continue to rise at a steady rate. We also have to protect quality, have some increases because our state appropriation is declining and may decline more. We're down $14 million in state appropriation over 2 years. Now, the legislature and the governor have tried to protect us as much as they can, and we appreciate what they've done. But these are very difficult times. There's not a lot of money. There's declining revenues. So this is partially to offset that. Our total operating budget actually has gone up very little. So we will raise tuition the minimum amount possible to ensure fiscal sustainability and quality.
Let me, Rich, ask you the broad question. I think this is the question being asked at major colleges and universities all over the country right now. How do you maintain academic integrity while cutting costs, and is it really possible?
At a certain point, you begin to, rather than cut across the board or take from everybody, you begin to pare away programs. What we're doing right now is downsizing some programs, and at a certain point we have to ask ourselves, as people are across the country. I mean, even the University of California is struggling with this in an enormous way. One of the great institutions in the world, they're asking the federal government to think about helping them. This is truly, truly an unprecedented set of challenges. So we cut away things that are not core to the mission, institutes and centers. We cut away things that we can use technology. We're going to be aggressively introducing technology as a way to do things from purchasing to registration. We're down 300 full-time equivalent employees in 2 years. So you do that, but at a point you ask yourself that question, because we are deeply committed to quality education, and then you begin to eliminate or put on hold programs. Those are the questions in front of us right now. Our faculty are deeply committed to quality, and they'll protect that and push back. So we'll start making the harder decisions about what are the true priorities. We hope that our budgets recover, state revenues recover, but we are embracing the very difficult questions right now.
I know that this report is not the end of the planning process.
No.
What comes next?
What comes next is actually the hard work of implementation. We've spent about 10 months in an open process across the state. We have just finished a round of 8 public meetings, one on each of the 7 universities and one at the system office, websites, feedback, and all of that, to make sure that what we're pursuing makes sense to people. We have a work plan that has a detailed set of metrics and goals and timelines for each of those 40-some goals and or work items. And now we begin to move them forward very, very aggressively. I mean, you mentioned that we are looking at three-year degree programs as a way to serve students better. And I think it's going to increase enrollment because there are students who would be very interested in that, even out-of-state enrollment, part of our plan, and have that on up and running by next fall. That is a very fast timeline to reorganize classes and think about that. So we are working very aggressively for implementation now. We've sent one more point. As we move forward, we're introducing what we call new ways of working. One of those is to create a oversight council, people from the campuses, to provide direction and guidance and feedback to how we use system-wide services, what's the scope and structure of the system office, and to help us make the best decisions possible to serve the campuses, serve the students. So we're building in feedback mechanisms, customer surveys, inside and outside the university, so that we are even more responsive to the needs of our own people, but also the needs of the state. So this is also bringing a new business model, a new way of working into the university system.
All right, Rich Patnod, thank you so much for joining us on Maine Watch.
My pleasure, thank you.
And if you'd like to see the UMaine report or learn more about any of the topics on Maine Watch, you can always go to our website, mpbn.net/MaineWatch. You can also find previous programs there and download podcasts. Thank you for joining us.